Turn with me to the Old Testament this time and to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 34, page 93, if you're following in the Pew Bibles. Exodus 34, and we're coming in to verse 18. And this is the Word of God. And God says to Moses, "Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. And do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in that month you came out of Egypt. The first offspring of every womb belongs to me, including all the firstborn males of your livestock, whether from herd or flock. Redeem the firstborn donkey with a lamb, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem all your firstborn sons. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. Celebrate the feast of weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the turn of the year. 3 times a year all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your territory, and no one will covet your land when you go up 3 times each year to appear before the Lord your God. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast, and do not let any of the sacrifice from the Passover feast remain until morning. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write down these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. May God bless his word to us today. It's been a strange kind of a summer. Certainly the farmers in the early part of the summer were worried and concerned because there wasn't a lot of sunshine. And I know that some of them were getting together and praying that God would move, praying that the harvest would be good, that the summer would end well. And God seems to have answered those prayers. Because the last month has been a very good month and has enabled the harvest to get in. And I think a lot of farmers are very happy. God is good. God is faithful. We celebrate harvest today, and it's good to bring harvest front and central. It's one of the few parts of the Old Testament, in a sense, which is carried on into the New Testament church. But you may not know this, or you may know it, but in Israel, there were actually 3 harvests. There was a harvest that began in the spring, another one in the summer, and then one in the autumn time. And we read about these in Exodus chapter 34. The harvest season really began in our equivalent of March or April, in the month of Abib, which is the first month in the Jewish calendar. And it began on the 14th of Abib, which was Passover. And then on the 15th to the 21st, there was a week of celebration called the Feast, or the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And on the second day of that feast, on the 16th of Abib, was the Feast of First Fruits, where a priest was given the first cut of the barley crop, and he raised it and he waved it before God as an offering of thanksgiving to him. So that was the first harvest festival in the equivalent of our spring. Then in the third month of the Jewish year, in the month of Sivan, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, which is the equivalent of May or June in our year, there was the second harvest, which included the first fruits of the wheat crop. And then thirdly, in the seventh month, in the month of Tishri, the equivalent of our September, October, the equivalent of what we're doing today, there was the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths, or in gathering, when they would celebrate the gathering in of all the crops at the end of the summer, at the beginning of the autumn. And that celebration not only was to give thanks to God for the fruit and the crops and so on, but also to give thanks to God for safe delivery from Egypt into the Promised Land. And many of the people would sit in booths, little tents, to celebrate that time. So the Feast of Ingathering, or Tabernacles, was also called the Feast of Booths. So they had three harvest celebrations in spring, in summer, and autumn. And each of those times, the men were asked to bring the produce to a central location. Now, that may have meant some of them traveling many miles to wherever the tabernacle was. And they would bring their produce, they would bring their first fruits, they would bring their offerings, they would bring their tithes to that central location three times a year. In Deuteronomy 16 and 16, it says, "No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you." Deuteronomy 14 says, "Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year." So these offerings, these tithes, these first fruits were brought before God, and there were two or three things happened. The first thing that happened was, as they brought all this together, is that they had a massive feast. They had a bit of a knees up. And so the first bit of the tithe was used as a celebration, and they had this huge meal. Most of the tithe, then, that was not used was given to the Levites. Now, as you may know, the Levites, one of the tribes of Israel, did not have their own land. So they weren't able to farm it, they weren't able to bring out their own produce, so they were reliant on the rest of the nations of Israel on bringing the tithe. And out of the Levites, of course, came the priests. So this, in effect, was the stipend. This was what was paid to the priests as they brought, interceded on behalf of the nation of Israel. And then the remainder of the tithe was used to give to the poor, to the widows, to the aliens and strangers in their midst. So the tithes and the offerings were used in different ways. Now, added into this mix was the requirement to make a sacrifice of the firstborn to God as a reminder of the great rescue from Egypt. So in verse 19 of chapter 34, we read, "The first offspring of every womb belongs to me." The firstborn of sheep or cattle was offered to God in sacrifice. A donkey was quite a precious animal in terms of a family. So God said that you could take the donkey and you could redeem it. In other words, you could give money instead of the donkey, or you could sacrifice a lamb. This also applied, of course, for a human being. For the firstborn son or whatever, you weren't expected to sacrifice that. You were expected to bring a lamb in the place of that firstborn human being. But the idea was that you are to give thanks to God because of the great salvation that you have had. You have been released from Egypt, and you have been brought into a promised land of Canaan. Now, of all those things, the tithes, the offerings, the sacrifices, the thing that we're concentrating on just for a short time this morning is this idea of first fruits. And in Exodus 34, it is mentioned quite often. The first fruits in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where the first fruit of the barley crop was brought, that's in verse 18. And then in verse 22, we see the Feast of Ingathering, verse 22, the first fruits of the wheat were given to God, and then also the Feast of Ingathering, where the first fruits of the rest of the soil were brought before God. This whole idea of first fruits was at the very center of each of the harvest celebrations. Now, what does this say to us today? Well, I think there are three principles here that pass on from the Old Testament into the New Testament and into our church today. And they're themes that we've already seen in the songs, in the displays, and in the video. First one is this: the first fruits is an act of thanks. When we bring our first fruits to God, it is an act of thanksgiving for His goodness to us. Now, as the Israelites look back in their history, they had a lot to be grateful for. They were in the land of milk and honey. They had been released from prison, the prison of Egypt and Pharaoh. But we, as New Testament Christians, have much, much more to be thankful for. We have not been released from Egypt, but we have been released from sin and the grip of Satan. So we have much, much more to be thankful for. So this idea of bringing the first fruits to God, I think, should continue. So they took that first cut of the barley, and they were saying to God, Lord, you have been so good to us. We want to give you the first, and we want to give you the best. We thank you for the harvest. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, oh, thank the Lord, for all his love. Now, of course, we should give thanks to God every day for the food that we enjoy, and I hope that you do. And we give thanks to God every Sunday as we gather to offer him praise. But today we give a concentrated focus, a concentrated thanksgiving to God at harvest for everything that we enjoy. And with the first fruits, it wasn't very much, but it was largely symbolic. It was saying to God, we're giving you this first portion, this first cut of barley or wheats or whatever, but it represents the whole. The first represents the whole of the rest. And I'm sure there were farmers and tribesmen in those days, and perhaps they thought to themselves, you know, I can't really be bothered taking that first cut and traveling miles to wherever the tabernacle is and offering it to God. I'm sure there was that temptation to hold back and to say, well, I don't think I'll bother this year. But I'm sure God noticed that. We are to give God the first fruits, and we are to give it to him willingly, not grudgingly. We are to give it to him cheerfully. The word cheerful in Greek in the New Testament is the word hilarion, from which we get the word hilarious. So as we bring our offerings and as we bring our tithes and so on, we should do it cheerfully. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. So here's the first principle, which I think continues to apply today. It's an act of thanks. And as we bring our offerings today, it's an act of thanksgiving. The second thing we see, and it was very strong in the video earlier, is that it is an act of faith. In offering up the first portion, you are saying to God, God, I am giving you the first bit. I'm not quite sure what's coming afterwards, but I'm giving you the first in faith that there will be more afterwards. It is an act of faith. And in the video, we were reminded of Abram, who offered his one and only son. He gave God the first. He gave his only son, yet he had this promise, I'm going to build a nation through you, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people, and yet God said to him, I want you to offer up Isaac. And I'm sure Abraham's thinking, well, how's that going to work? But he was obedient, and in an act of faith, he did what he was told. Or again, with Abel and Cain, Abel gave the first of his flock. And it was an act of faith, whereas Cain just took some of his produce. And I think that's the distinction. Abel gave the first of his flock. Cain just gave some. He kind of took this attitude, well, it doesn't really matter what I give to God. I'll just give him a bit. I'll just give him a portion. I'll give what's left over. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are we giving God the first? Are we giving God the best? It is an act of faith. It is a harvest principle. God says to us again in his word, whoever sows generously will reap generously. Are we giving generously to God as we give our offerings and tithes? This putting of God first in our lives is a strong theme in the Old Testament, but it's in the New Testament as well. In the New Testament, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, on the first day of each week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with one's income. In 2 Corinthians 8 also, he says, they gave themselves, the Corinthian church gave themselves first to the Lord. In Revelation chapter 2 and 4, the church of Ephesus is scolded by the Lord. Jesus says to them, I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love. First, first, first. It keeps coming up through the scriptures. God expects the first, not the second or third or the last, but the first. Firstborn, first fruits, first of your produce, first of the income. God expects us to give him the first part and to do so willingly. So are you giving God the first part of your day? As you get out of bed, maybe have your breakfast, are you reading your daily devotional? Are you praying to God? Are you giving God that first part of the day? Are you giving God the first day of the week? Are you here Sunday by Sunday because you're disciplined and you're devoted and you're saying, God, I'm giving you the first day of the week? Or are you giving God the first part of your income? Some years ago, Kay and I were challenged by this teaching, and we decided as an act of faith that whenever our income came in, whenever we were paid monthly, as most of us probably are, that we would give the first portion, we would give the first cut to God. Not wait to the middle of the month, not wait to the end of the month to see what was left over, but we would give him the first fruits as an act of faith. And we believe that this is what the Bible teaches. And when we do that, God blesses us and God blesses the church. It's an act of thanksgiving, it's an act of faith, it's an act of devotion. Can I encourage you, if you're not doing this, to consider doing it seriously? When you get your monthly pay packet in, look at what it is and say, I'm giving a portion of this right away now to the Lord. I'm setting it apart for him. The first represents the whole. If you get the first bit right, everything else will follow. God will bless us. Our first fruits, it's an act of thanks, it's an act of faith, and thirdly and finally, it's an act that displays that we are the people of God. The word first fruits in the New Testament is used of Jesus himself in a few places, and by implication it is used of his church. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, it says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead, the first fruits. But then the rest will follow. All his followers will also rise one day. Remember, the first portion represents the whole. The head of the church has been raised. And what happened to him, the first fruits of life, will happen to us as well. And we see here a wonderful fulfillment of the first Old Testament harvest feast in Jesus. On the evening, the Thursday evening into Friday morning, there was Passover. And of course, Jesus celebrated Passover. We call it the Last Supper. He celebrated that with his disciples. Then on the Friday, he is crucified. And we have the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then on the next day, the Sunday, which would have been the first day of work for the Jews, the first fruits was offered by the priest to God. So on the Sunday, the resurrection day, the first day of the working week for the Jews, but our Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. It was a very graphic illustration of the first fruits being given to God. Jesus is the first to rise. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him, and then the end will come. Paul also in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, Paul talks about the new creation, and he says that the Spirit has been given to us as the first fruits, as the pledge of what is to come. He says, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The Spirit is a deposit in us. He is the pledge that one day we shall rise as Jesus rose. We shall be with him in the new heaven and the new earth. So in a sense, this idea of first fruits continues in Jesus. It continues into the church, and it will be wonderfully fulfilled as we reach the new heaven and the new earth. But throughout the scriptures, harvest points to a greater harvest. The material harvest points to a harvest of souls. John, in his vision in Revelation chapter 14, sees someone like a son of man who is wielding this great sickle, and he's holding the sickle over the earth, and it says this, "Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. God, through Jesus, gathers into his barn, if you like, all the believers, all the followers, everyone who has trusted in the name of Jesus Christ throughout history. And that will be a tremendous harvesting of souls gathered together to live with God forever in a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to be part of that harvest. I want to be in that barn, if you like, that as he reaps, my soul will be there because I have trusted in Jesus. But what about you? Are you part of the first fruits of God's church? Are you one of those who have trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord? Or what are you trusting in for eternal salvation or eternal life? Jesus has come as the hope of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only. He gave us the first and the best, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Are you part of the first fruits? Are you giving to God the best of your income, the best of your talent, the best of your time, the best of your produce? It's an act of thanks. It's an act of faith. It's an act of the people of God. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for your word to us, a word that speaks through the centuries and reminds us of how important it is that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. Father, forgive us if our priorities are all wrong. Help us to sort that out, even today, even before we leave this building, that Christ would be first in our lives, today and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.